Hey, Anneli, how's Puerto Rico today?
It's great. It's super sunny and warm, as pretty much always, which is nothing for me to complain about.
Hey, it is sunny and warm all the time there. And the next story is about coral reefs, but do you snorkel, scuba dive, any of that sort of stuff?
I do snorkel. I'd say it's a really popular activity here.
Oh, really?
Anytime you go to any local beach, you kind of see people poking around, even if it's not necessarily a beach that's known for snorkeling. I think it's just kind of a fun, accessible activity.
Yeah, you don't need much, just a mask and snorkel and you're good to go, really.
Exactly.
So the reef I went to, actually, you could just walk right off the beach and swim out for 2 minutes and then you're on this amazing coral reef. It was really accessible.
Yeah, a lot of beaches in Puerto Rico have that type of reef access, which is nice. And it's also nice because you don't have to necessarily go on a boat to get somewhere else to then jump in the ocean. And so it's also a nice activity for kids who are just learning how to swim.
Right. Yeah, it seems so for sure. So I met up with some people at a coral reef near Vega Baja, which is about half an hour west of San Juan, and they were doing some really interesting work. I just did not know that this was possible. They were actually reattaching the coral that broke off during the hurricane.
Yeah, super fascinating work.
Let's all listen. I'm standing on a tall dune near Vega Baja in Puerto Rico's north coast. The ocean stretches out in shades of dark blue, turquoise, and pale aquamarine. But interspersed among the usual colors of a tropical ocean are patches of brownish orange, elkhorn coral. Salvador Loriano is a worker with the environmental NGO Grupo Vidas. Their main task is coral restoration.
Our goal right now is to plant coral fragments here. Because you know that Hurricane Maria came here and devastated the island. This caused great damage to the coral reef because the first time we entered there after Maria, the reef was like destroyed. Like we'd see like big coral colonies upside down and a lot of dead coral.
As long as they remain submerged underwater, these coral, which are colonies of tiny invertebrate animals, have a 20% chance of survival. But that increases to more than 90% if they're attached to a larger structure, not getting banged around by the surf or smothered with sand. If a piece of coral is at least 2 inches long and 80% healthy, it can actually be reattached to an existing reef. Salvador points towards the water.
That over there is my sister, and that's one of our friends that work here. They're preparing to enter to the El Arrecife.
Can we go see what they're doing?
Yes.
Mariola Loriano is standing on the shore in about a foot of water.
Mariola!
She's wearing a rash guard to protect from the hot tropical sun. A mask is perched on her forehead, a snorkel dangling off it. She's holding a white milk crate with all the tools the crew will need for their morning's work.
Yeah, basically what we have in there is a sledgehammer, a slate where we write our tallies, basically, which is all of the fragments that we've successfully planted, a bag for any trash that we find inside the ocean, buoy so it floats.
So should I put on my fins then and we head in?
If you're using like flippers, I recommend that you either walk sideways or back. Because, if you use flippers, walking front, it's going to be rather difficult.
I'm going to fall on my face.
Mostly. I can help you enter the reef because, it's all rocky, but there are a lot of sea urchins there.
Oh, so it's spiny.
Yeah, but it's not that big deal because they're really deep inside the crevices, so they won't, sting you.
So is there any other advice I need before we go in?
You got to be careful. It's not that big of an issue, but scorpion fish have also appeared here, right?
Yeah.
You know they camouflage very well.
I don't, actually.
They rely on their camouflage. Uh-huh. And sometimes their camouflage is really good. So it's best to keep an eye out where you put your hand or anything.
I'm not gonna touch anything.
No, I know. Just in case.
We put on our masks, snorkel, and fins and walk backwards into the bath-warm water, stepping over sharp black sea urchins. Once the water is knee-deep, we splash in and swim about 500 feet to the reef. A rainbow of fish greets us. Green fish with fluorescent blue heads, black fish with yellow stripes, green fish with pink stripes. They're all juvenile fish, and the reef is a critical habitat for them. Bulbous brain coral dot the seafloor, and orange elkhorn coral stick out at awkward angles, much like its namesake. A worker named Ernesto is already hard at work. He uses a wire brush to scrape algae off a piece of coral the size of a ping pong paddle, and does the same to a suitable spot on the reef. Just like gluing two objects together, you need to start with a clean surface on both sides. Then he pulls a plastic zip tie out of his sleeve and uses it to attach the coral in place. He uses pliers with a fluorescent pink handle to pull the zip tie tight and cut off the excess plastic, which he sticks into his other sleeve. This piece of coral is now one of hundreds just like it pinned to the reef with zip ties. And in 2 to 3 weeks, it will grow onto the reef enough to stay put on its own. Roughly 15% of the coral here at Vega Baja was broken off by Hurricane Maria. But these corals evolved with hurricanes. If hurricane damage was the only issue, this work wouldn't be necessary. But much like the world's coral reefs in general, this reef has a lot of challenges. Grupo Vidas worker Ernesto says one of the biggest problems is algae blooms from sewage runoff. In many places, the coral is essentially smothered, leaving it a ghostly gray color.
Yeah, those, they look like zombies right there.
They look like zombies, like Day of the Dead.
Yeah, it's like Day of the Dead, but under the water.
There is a very large, dead coral at the entrance to the reef in the shallowest, warmest water. Ernesto believes that one died not from algae blooms, but from stress of a warming ocean.
The water is getting warmer. Every year it's getting warmer.
Standing on the dune in a light blue rash guard and smoking a cigarette, Ernesto talks about the death of that coral as one might talk about a member of the family passing away.
We got a lot of love for him. We saw him alive, very alive. He's the one of the oldest in our reef. But he started dying. We saw the process of his death. So we just admire him and remember him. It's a very sentimental, I don't know, but it's deep in the heart.
Adding to the warming water and algae blooms, ship groundings break off large chunks of coral each year. Collectors intentionally break it off to sell for home aquariums, and spear fishermen damage it with their equipment. Ocean acidification and coral bleaching are also huge problems for the world's corals, and Puerto Rico is no exception. The team admits it's an uphill battle to save this reef, but Salvador says they're already seeing results.
Our work has given us results, like species that we thought we'd never see again are started to return, like moray eels, scorpion fish, sea cucumbers, puffer fish, sand dollars, which are a species of flat sea urchin. And also there's like a spotted eagle ray hanging around over there.
Projects like this have actually been going on for nearly 20 years on a small scale. But $1 million of post-Maria funding allowed scientists from NOAA, the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, and independent NGOs to speed up their efforts. The grant money will dry up soon, but workers have been able to reattach roughly 15,000 pieces of coral to the reefs surrounding Puerto Rico. So I got to tell you, Anali, that was a learning experience for me. I just didn't know that that was possible to reattach coral. Of course, we all know that it's a living organism, but it looks like a rock. It doesn't look like something that could just grow back onto another structure.
I know. I was super interested in hearing that story as well. And it definitely gave me a lot of hope for the regeneration of corals on this island.
Yeah. And the cool thing, too, is the people I was with, they were just reattaching relatively small bits of it, you know, maybe a foot long was the largest one. But some other people that I talked with for a different story, they were actually reattaching huge brain coral that are like 1,000 pounds. And they use float bags to lift them up off the bottom and put them onto a larger piece of coral. It was really, really incredible work.
That's actually really good to hear, because the last time I went snorkeling in Culebra, I had actually heard from someone in a dive shop that that type of brain coral, like brain coral that's the size of small cars had been flipped over and like tossed. And in my head, I was just imagining that that was kind of it for that coral. So that's really cool that there are ways to help those much larger pieces of devastation.
Oh, I have to tell you, I got really sunburned during this story.
I can imagine. Yeah. Snorkeling is definitely, snorkeling and surfing, you get obliterated.
Yeah. I think I was maybe the third day I was in Puerto Rico. I didn't really have a tan yet. And I know that you're supposed to put on sunscreen, and I did it everywhere but my calves, which stick out of the water, which was really stupid. I got really, really burned.
That's happened to my boyfriend, who lives in New York and is on the paler side, and he forgets one spot, and it's a problem.
Yeah. The sacrifices I make for radio.
Yeah.
All right, Anneli. Well, gosh, it's been really fun talking with you. Thanks so much for helping me out with this podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, and thanks so much for shining a light on a lot of what's been going on in Puerto Rico since the storm.
Oh, my pleasure.